From the Pavilion on Cambridge 105 Radio.
Hello and welcome to the final edition of From the Pavilion of the 2019 cricket season. Myself, Ollie Slack, is in the studio with Coton Cricket Club captain Ollie Bradby and Old Leesians player Dougie Turner as well. We'll be speaking to them both this hour about their respective promotions. We'll also be chatting to Callum Guest. He's not in the studio this evening. He's bunked off to Ireland for a couple of days before a crucial playoff to see if Saucen of Abraham can get into the EAPL playoff final and the semi-final this weekend. We'll speak to Callum. He'll have all the details on that one for us. Running up our EAPL size. It was the penultimate weekend of fixtures for them. Saturday just gone. It's the final round of fixtures this weekend. Cambridge Cricket Club defeated Burnley Exeting in the 105 derby. We'll be speaking to all of the skippers and players later on. It's also the second semi-final of the much-anticipated quiz. Who's the biggest badger? Sam Rippington finished second in the leaderboard with 28 points. James Williams finished third with 24 points. The two go head-to-head, so you can take on Jamie Seabrook in the final. And we'll also be having a right old moan about England. They lost the fourth test against Australia. They have lost the Ashes as well. They're still fighting for the series, though. They head to the Oval this week. Jason Roy has been dropped from the 11. Sam Curran and Chris Wokes come in. Craig Overton misses out also. We'll be speaking to Ollie and Dougie about their views on that later on. First, let's talk local cricket as we always do, and starting with the winners of the Whitings and Partners Division 3, Old Leesians. They won the division this year and they are promoted to the second division, assuming they don't rejig the leagues again. Dougie Turner joins me in the studio. Before we get talking on that, let's just give you the housekeeping, and if you want to get in touch, you can do 07919 070490 to contact us. That's via the text. Email us also studio@cambridge105.co.uk. And you can also contact us on Twitter at 105 Sport, or more specifically for today's cricket show at FTP Cricket 105. That's on Twitter and Facebook as well. So make sure you get in touch, especially give us your England views later on in the show. But Dougie, let's talk to you then. Welcome to From the Pavilion, and thanks for coming on the show. Firstly, how you doing? You good?
Yeah, good. Yeah.
Yeah, are you slightly got your breath back yet?
Yeah, I had a bit of a frantic sprint from the station just to get here for the show, so all good now.
But all warmed up and ready to go?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, good. So, a brilliant season for yourselves and Old Leesians, winning the Whitings and Partners Division 3 title. Foxton also promoted, the top two promoted in the division. So, you must be pretty happy with how the season's gone, obviously, and not just for yourself, but for the club as well.
Yeah, it's been a really good year. I think all clubs, when they start a season, they set out to try and win the league, and that's something that we've thought about whenever we play cricket. But to actually do it, it's a really nice achievement, particularly with plenty of good competition in the league as well. We're really happy to have ended up on top, having beaten some pretty stiff competition along the way.
You won the title by 26 points, second Foxton, third Eton Soken. Were they your main challenges throughout the season, your toughest opponents?
Yeah, I'd say so. I think it was a bit of an unknown quantity to this season. So it was a new league and we were coming up against some teams that we'd never played before. So you know, that's always going to be a bit of an unknown quantity. So it's good to play against some new sides, but also to continue some of our old rivalries that we've had against, you know, Foxton, and that's a side we've played against for a good few years now. So to be able to make it through that season against some really tough competition and to win the league is very, very pleasing.
Yeah, you had a great finish to the season. And in terms of your first five games, won three of them, lost two. But after that, apart from the one abandoned game, you managed to win every single one. So a terrific end of the season and really finished it strong.
Yeah, I mean, I felt like we spent most of the season either on a calculator or looking at a weather app. I think we had a really good year, and we've had a bit of bad luck in previous seasons with weather, so I really felt we were owed a bit of good luck this year. But no, to end up on top's really, really satisfying, and to be able to string together so many wins is quite the achievement.
What has been the key for your success this season? Anything, can you pin it on anything in particular? Any side batting or bowling, or just an all-round top performance throughout the campaign?
Yeah, I think a little bit of all of the above. I think what's been really key in the most recent few years is good recruitment. So we've been very lucky, and we've had lots of good youngsters leaving the school that we've been able to pick up, and hopefully that's something that as we progress through the leagues we'll be able to continue doing, and probably to the detriment of people like myself who probably not get picked anymore. But you know, it's really pleasing to see we've got a lot of young guys. What's really important though is we've kept a really good core of players that have sort of stayed with the side for the last 10 years, and that's crucial to any good side. We've got a good backbone of older guys, and then we can supplement that with some good youngsters coming through. So I think what's key, most cricket sides will say this, but I think we're friends off the field and on the field, and our view is we're playing competitive cricket, but ultimately we're spending a day in the field with 10, 11 of our mates, and we're really just happy to be there. So, and obviously being able to pick up wins is a bonus. So I think that's probably the key.
Yeah, it must be nice, sort of, I wouldn't say knowing or relying on, but I guess having the safety blanket of a regular stream of youngsters coming through that do play cricket at the school.
Yeah, I would say that. I think where we differ to most cricket clubs is we only have one team. So, for example, other bigger clubs like your Foxtons and your Burwells, they've got a seconds, a third, a first team. So they can rely on a big group of players. I think we as a one-side club, we have to rely on the new players coming from leaving the school. So that's something we focus on in our sort of recruitment. But it's pleasing to see lots of good talent coming out of the school, and that's a testament to the coaching at the school and Richard Kaufman and John Welch at St Faith's as well. So it's really pleasing to see.
In terms of how the team have been doing, I sort of racking through the stats earlier on Play Cricket, couldn't find a single player to average above 20 with the ball, and five guys averaging above 40 with the bat. Has it just been one of those seasons where everyone has seemed to find form at some point in the season?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, we've got some exceptionally good cricketers, and we've got a few guys playing at sort of getting higher honours, playing for the county in some shape or form. So there's a lot of good players in the squad. But yeah, I think you're right. At any given point in time, someone sticks their hand up, and if it's not you, it's someone else. But I think we've got really good depth now, and we've got a big squad. I think I remember 2 or 3 years ago when we'd struggle to get 10, let alone 11 players out on the pitch. So to be able to be in a situation now where John, our captain, actually has to form a selection decision is quite a nice place to be in, I think.
Yeah, must be nice. And like I said, promoted to what we assume will be Whiting's 2 next season. And incredibly, last season you won Senior 1. Which would have got you promoted to Whiting's 2, where they had a bit of a reshuffle, created the extra Whiting's division. Foxton beat you to the Senior 1 title, but then you beat them to the Whiting's 3 title this year, up into Whiting's 2. What are you expecting from the division? Are you expecting much of a jump in terms of standard?
Yeah, I'd say so. I think we know a couple of the sides in that league, and there's definitely some good players in that league. But that's a challenge we're very much embracing as a side. I think that's always been our goal. We're a very ambitious team, and to be able to mix it with some of the best in the county and the region is something that we really aspire to do. So we welcome a challenge, and you know, our goal is to try and cement ourselves as one of the top sides in the region. And if that results in us winning the league, then that's great. But I think what our captain John Welch is very good at is sort of creating a culture where we're only thinking about the next game, and we're not getting too far ahead of ourselves. So I think that's key to a successful side.
Well, I wish you all the best for next season in Whitings. I'm sure I'll speak to you before then. But
fingers crossed.
Yeah, your fondest memory from the 2019 season?
There's a lot. I think as I alluded to it earlier, I think one of the keys to our success is being able to sort of gel well as a side off the pitch, and you know, we're regularly having really good socials, and we'll have evenings at players' houses, sort of dinner evenings, and that's a really special part of being a club. So I couldn't pick a standout. there's a few good knocks that came in the season. Sadly, none from me. But but yeah, it's been a good year.
Good. Well, thank you very much, Dougie. We'll speak to you a bit later on. Give your views on England, and of course, chip in later on. Have a go at the quiz, I'm sure, as well. Moving on to the winners of Junior One, a side who will be in the senior divisions of the Camden Lancers Premier League next year, Coton Cricket Club, and their captain, Ollie Bradby, joins me now. Are you all right, Ollie?
Yeah, good, thanks. How are you?
Yeah, good, thank you. Firstly, congratulations. Senior cricket for yourself and the club next season. How crucial was that, or how much are you looking forward to it?
Yeah, really looking forward to it. Brilliant. It'll be really good. Really nice to challenge ourselves at a higher level. We've got the players to go up a couple more leagues and see how we do. Yeah, it'll be really nice to do, yeah.
Yeah, promotion, not something which is unfamiliar for you guys.
No.
It's 5 times in the last 6 years, so it's just another season at the office, isn't it? It's just another day at the office for you guys.
Yeah, it's a nice place to be, isn't it? really nice place. Just hopefully we can carry on with our unreal form, and then we'll go from there.
What is the recipe to success then? Because something clearly must be good in the water over at Coton.
Yeah, well, we've got a seriously, seriously good and committed coach, Ross Chandler. Take serious pride in what we do, hopefully, yeah, and he's just brilliant, tries to get everyone to their best standards, and he's just one of a kind, seriously dedicated, just really takes his cricket seriously and loves the game. Yeah,
14 games played throughout the season, 2 cancelled to weather, so only actually managed to play 14, only lost the 2, and like I said again, the 5th promotion in 6 years. Does complacency ever set in?
No, we respect every side we play. We're a humble bunch of blokes. We're all quite young, so we're not all violent, aggressive out there. So we all just respect everyone out there, respect what we're doing, and then we back our bowlers, back our batsmen to do the job on the day.
Slightly more tight title race this was compared to speaking to Dougie and old legends earlier. Fordham and Mattingly, both in the 200s in terms of points, ran you fairly close. Did you ever worry at any point that it might be slipping away at all, or were you pretty happy throughout the season?
We beat Mattingly comfortably twice, so I wasn't worried about Mattingly that much. I thought they had a good batter who got a lot of their runs, but Fordham were a serious outfit. They had strong bowlers, strong batsmen, but they've been giving a bit of chat off the field, saying they've been the best team in the league, but we went to their place, smashed 240 in 30 overs, and they didn't even get halfway, I don't think. So,
well, the best team is the one that always finishes top of the division. You've taken over the captaincy this year as well,
from
Declan Fitzherney, a man who keen listeners of From the Pavilion may have heard on the show a number of times. How have you found it? Have you found settling in as captain?
Yeah, good. I'm questioning whether you can understand him on that. Actually, his accent is quite strong. It's really nice. Just challenging myself to trying to push people to the next level. Taking in charge of players is just something I really enjoy doing, and having everything rest on your shoulder kind of like takes. It's nice because you can control the game. You can do what you want. They can and they listen to you, and you build on that, and it's a brilliant place to be. I love it. Yeah.
If you don't mind asking, how old are you?
19. 20 in 2 days.
Firstly, happy birthday for two days. But secondly, is that, I don't know, a lot of pressure, or do you find it difficult to probably talk to and tell certain older players what to do, who've been around the block and had a lot more experience, I guess, in the game than you, of what to do or where you think they should stand in the field or when you should bring them onto bowl and where they should bat?
It's nice to have like those older players because they're more experienced. They can take an outside look and have a look at the batsman's shots and see what they're best at. Whereas I'm just focused on what I want the bowler to bowl, and I'm very focused on keeping, making sure I'm in the right place all the time. So it's nice having that another person there controlling fields, helping me out a little bit, nudging me a bit when I've gone off, lost a bit of concentration or something. But it can be a struggle telling them what to do sometimes. But I relish the challenge, and they listen to me, they respect me, so it's no problem. We're friends off the field, as Dougie says. We're all friends off the field.
Good.
At the end of the day.
I was saying, and similarly, when I was looking at your stats earlier, once again, 15 guys averaging below 20 with the ball this year.
Yeah, it's decent.
Yeah, I was going to say, and plenty of options with the bat. As well, whenever I look at Coton as well, there's always a strong core of players that you see throughout the years. Lee Bukoski, yourself, John Hartwright as well. Does it help to have those players, that consistency, when you look over, you know, to your left in the field or to the right and see them there week in, week out?
Yeah, it's nice. It's nice. Yeah, but they bring a lot to the table. So it's really nice them being there and like helping you out. And you know you can rely on them. You know they'll get you wickets. You know they'll get you runs. So, it takes the pressure off captaincy as well, as you were saying earlier, because you know there's guys in the field out there who can produce something good on the day, and it's not all relying on just one person. So everyone chips in. It's lovely to have. Yeah.
Unfortunately, finished the season with a bit of a sour note, but obviously doesn't spoil what's been a magnificent season. Lost to Chesterfords in the junior league playoff on the weekend just gone. But how are you expecting the jump up to the senior divisions next year?
Well, we said for the last 3-4 seasons we think we're a senior 2 side. We think we've got the players, we've got the experience there, and if you look at our batting, our bowling, all have 15 guys under 20 bowling wise, and like 5-6 guys averaging above 50. I think we'll be comfortable in the league. Hopefully, get another promotion next year. I think we'll do well. Yeah,
bold prediction there from Coton Cricket Club captain Ollie Bradbury. Ollie, thank you very much. Like I said, we'll hear more from you later on in the show. Congratulations to you both on your respective promotions. Coming up after the travel, we'll be hearing from the first of our EAPL skippers, Lewis Hill, and trying to get Callum guests on the phone to see how Sawston Bay Abraham are preparing for their EAPL playoff semi-final on Sunday.
From the Pavilion on Cambridge 105 Radio.
Right, it's time to turn our attention to our EAPL sides now, and starting with Cambridge Cricket Club. I'm delighted to say that the skipper Lewis Hill joins us on the line now. Thanks for coming on the show, Lewis.
No worries, thanks for having me.
How are you doing? You good?
Yeah, not too bad, thank you. How are you guys?
Yeah, good, thank you. Let's talk about the weekend then. A very good win for you guys in what we're calling the 105 derby. I'm not sure anyone else is calling it that, but a 2-wicket win over Bow and Lexing, and your form's very good as well, Lewis. 5 wins in your last 6 EAPL games.
Yeah, I think that's the most pleasing thing. Like you say, 5 wins from the last 6 is very encouraging, and I think the loss we were pretty disappointed with in terms of our own performance as well. So, but in respect to the first half of the season, you know, it's been a good turnaround, and to be sat, you know, currently 5th in the table with 1 game to go, hopefully we can keep that form going and secure that spot for the end of the season.
Were you nervous at all at 8-3 and 37-5 on Saturday?
It was one of those where when you're chasing a small total, it's all you need is one partnership and it'll pretty much get you there. But I can't say I wasn't nervous at 8-3. It wasn't the best of starts. But like I said, we got over the line, so that was the main thing.
And it does look as though you will be, you know, I haven't done the maths, but it does look as though you will be the highest placed Cambridgeshire-based side in the division as well, currently up to 5th as well. It just shows how the back end of the season has really sort of catapulted you forward into the league. And if you do put a string of results together, you can definitely jump up. 8 wins out of 9 as well in all competitions, that's including EAPL games and all the other cup competitions.
Yeah, like you say, form is such a crucial part of the EAPL. You know, If you can get a little run together and keep that momentum, then it puts you in good stead. Definitely at this stage of the season, when you know potentially some clubs aren't particularly playing for a lot. But like I say, we always want to finish as high as possible. You know, have those bragging rights of being the highest in the local area. I think we've lost to Borough once in about 7 years, so that's a title that we like to keep. You know, we don't want to be losing too many games to the local team, so to have that form, I think it's an 8 out of 9 or something. It's definitely pleasing, and it's good to see with the young talent that we do have at the club.
For Inton-on-Sea on the weekend, the last match of your season, coming up against the champions as well. Firstly, do you have to give them a guard of honour? And secondly, will you be hoping to sort of catch them off guard in the midst of their celebrations?
Yeah, obviously, you know, well done and credit to them. They've put an exceptionally good team together this year, and you know, they've fully deserved to win the league. They've been consistent throughout, so congratulations to them first and foremost. But yeah, we will be going there to try and win. It's obviously a difficult task going for the champions and especially playing at their place and trying to turn them over. But yeah, obviously we will hopefully enjoy a few celebrations with them after the game and congratulate them on winning the league. But between 11 o'clock at the start and that end point, we will definitely be trying to win the game.
Wish you all the best, Lewis. Thanks very much for coming on. And we'll catch up with you at the season review to properly have a proper overlook over the season.
No worries, appreciate it.
Cheers, Lewis.
Cheers now, bye.
From the Pavilion on Cambridge 105 Radio.
Yeah, listen to From the Pavilion here on Cambridge 105 Radio. We're going to be talking to Callum Guest now, but not in the studio. He's in Ireland at the minute, and they're probably sent him over there to sort out Brexit negotiations and all that. But, so he's joining us on the phone to talk through Sawston and Babraham's playoff semi-final with Witham Cricket Club this weekend. Thanks for coming on the show, Callum.
How are we doing, mate? All right?
Yeah, good, you?
Yeah, not too bad, not too
good.
Bad.
Good. How's Ireland?
Yeah, raining. Yeah, as you can imagine. No, it's good.
Yeah, well, it's actually quite sunny here, it's a shame you're not here, but good to hear your voice anyway. Let's talk about the weekend then, and on Sunday it's a crucial game for you and Sawston and Babraham Cricket Club. I guess the whole season, you know, the league season, you've won the league, but I guess it doesn't really matter at the end of the day unless you get what you want at the start of the year, which is promotion to the East Anglia Premier League, and that starts with the playoff semi this weekend against Witham.
No, absolutely. Yeah, that was the ambition when we started the season, was to obviously win the league and then obviously get to the playoffs and hopefully win them as well. So we've done half the job at the moment, but obviously these final or potential two games are massive for the club.
Do you know much about your opponents this weekend? Obviously, I guess you probably heard bits and bobs about them. Do you know anything specifically about them?
Yeah, I played a bit with Raj Singh, who has obviously played a bit for Haverhill in that league before he got his injury. He just said about, I think their strength comes in the batting. They've had a good overseas for most of the season. Obviously, it's always a bit of an anomaly with an overseas. They might get sent home. I think he was a state player, so he may have gone home. You're never quite sure. But obviously, to win a league quite convincingly, I think they've won it with a game to spare. So obviously, they've won it quite comfortably. So we're expecting a tough game.
Yeah, played 21 games so far, so we're assuming they have one game left. However, they have lost two games, unlike yourselves, obviously unbeaten this season. If you do get through to the final, you'll come up against North Runcton as well, because they got a bye through, because of course Vauxhall Mallards are disbanding at the end of the season. So that is the side from the Norfolk Cricket Alliance Premier Division going straight through to the final. That is who you'll face. Likewise, I guess it will obviously be another tough test, but how much do you back yourselves with this, Callum? Because obviously your form over the last season and a bit.
Yeah, I mean, it's always difficult to judge on the standard of the leagues, but what I would say is that obviously we're the team that's unbeaten going into it. Both them teams have lost games, so that gives us a bit of confidence. I'm not sure if there's a track record on what teams mainly go up from these games, but obviously we back ourselves. We've got a good enough squad to get through, and we're going in with a full of confidence.
Is it a benefit also, because I believe Saffron Walden last year had a game on a Saturday and then went straight into the playoff on the Sunday, and then of course had to wait a week to the final, but you guys having a bit of a break, no game this Saturday, so you've had a week to, I guess, refresh and go straight into the semi-final this Sunday?
Yeah, I suppose it's one of those. I believe that Witham have got a game this Saturday as well, so they're having a similar situation to what Walden did last year. I suppose it's one of those that keeps the having games back-to-back, keeps them competitive juices flowing. Having a couple of weeks break can sometimes be a bit a little bit disappointing and a bit hard to keep motivated, but the lads have trained well, and obviously we've had a few training sessions, etc., and we're fully prepared, and we've prepared ourselves mentally, you know, for the majority of the season to get to these games. So I'm not sure that will play too much of a factor come Sunday.
Well, wish you all the best, mate. Have a good time in Ireland, and make sure you get back fit and refreshed and ready to go on Sunday.
Thank you very much, mate. Cheers.
Cheers. Callum Guest, the usual co-host of the show, but out away in Ireland this week. He is back, though, for the all-important East Anglia Premier League semi-final playoff against Wigan. Saulston Bay Abraham taken Wigan. It's at Saulston Bay Abraham. They're on home turf as well, and then away to them in the final is North Runcton as well. So two big games left for Saulston and Bay Abraham of this season yet.
From the Pavilion on Cambridge 105 Radio.
Right, it's time for the biggest event of 2019. It's the Who's the Biggest Badger quiz, and we're on to the second semi-final now. A couple of weeks ago, Dan Heath took on Jamie Seabrook in the first semi-final. Jamie Seabrook came out on top against all odds. So remarkable that is. But it's this week, it's James Williams, the Cambridgeshire County Cricket Club, or former county captain, against Bowen Lexington's Sam Rippington. I've got both on the phone, I believe, but first we'll go to county captain, former county captain, James Williams. James, are you there?
Hi, how are you doing?
Yeah, good, thank you. And I do need to get that right, former county captain. How are you doing, mate?
Yeah, very well, thank you. Definitely former now.
And let me introduce Sam Rippington, also on the line. Are you there, Sam?
Hi, how are you doing?
Yeah, good, thank you. Look at that, perfect in harmony, both on the phone, ready for today's quiz. Let's start with you then, James. How are you feeling, firstly, to be put under the pressure cooker once again and go up against Rippers in the quiz semi-final?
Yeah, not too bad. I know Rips likes to buckle under a little bit of pressure sometimes, so, you know, we'll put a little bit of pressure on him.
I was going to say, you've played with him for a number of years. How has his sort of death bowling been in the old white ball stuff?
Yeah, he's good. You know, you can always rely on Ripper. You know, you put him under a bit of pressure, to be fair to him. He normally brings out the good, so it'll be a tough ask.
And he is, of course, the reigning New Year's Day quiz champion as well. So he's got a bit of history.
Has got a bit of history. He is a bit of a badger. You know, he sits on his grass cutter on the golf course most days just looking up cricket stats. So, you know, when he gets a proper job, when he gets back from Australia, he might struggle next year. So we'll try to put him under a bit of pressure.
OK, well, I'll allow him the right to reply. How are you feeling, Sam?
Yeah, pretty good. Pretty confident I can get one over Willow, to be honest with you.
Are you... How do you feel about him sort of taking the mickey at you there, sitting on your mower all day and getting a proper job?
There's advantages to not having a proper job. Hopefully I can beat him in the quiz, and then I've got one up in him for the next 6 months. So.
OK, well, that was an interesting situation, because I do recall in the New Year's Day quiz he was your phone-a-friend, I think, but now...
He was my phone-a-friend, yeah.
Going against each other. You are. Right, before we move on to the quiz, I'll allow you a bit more time to have a bit of refresh. Sam, let's talk about Bowen Lexington on the weekend, if you don't mind. A two-wicket loss, unfortunately, to Cambridge Cricket Club. Obviously, a bit of a local derby as well. How disappointed were you not to come away with the win in the end?
Yeah, it's been a frustrating sort of year. I mean, we've had glimpses of what we can do with the bat and certainly with the ball. Just can't put the two together. I mean, we didn't get enough runs, basically. I mean, it wasn't the easiest wicket to bat on. I reckon one flicky might be in the game. Price bowled superbly. Showed what we needed to do on the wicket, and unfortunately, probably 30 runs short. But it's the same again the week before, we got 300. So it's a real difficult place at the minute, where we can't seem to get sort of string two results together.
And in terms of like the season, because with no disrespect, obviously, you've been around about towards the bottom / mid-table for obviously the major part of the season. Has it been difficult to, I guess, get yourselves up and motivate yourselves for fixtures, knowing that there's not a lot riding on it?
Yeah, I mean, it's really tough, especially when you get into a bad trot. We had a run where we lost like 7 games on the bounce, but there's nothing on it, and you're sort of in a position where you can't get relegated, and that was our aim about halfway through the season, don't get relegated. But if you can't get relegated, there's not a lot on it. It's difficult to get the lads up and firing when there's nothing running on the game, really. It's a bit disappointing, but we'll move on to next season, certainly after Saturday.
OK, well, thank you for that, Sam. Hold your horses for a sec. Let's just talk to James about Cambridgeshire. And James, finished the season really, really well with the win over Hertfordshire, finished the Eastern Championship third. You sealed the promotion, or in terms of how the leagues are being manoeuvred next year, in that top five, so you will be in the top Eastern Division next year. How important was that for you, bowing out, knowing you've got the job done?
Yeah, massive. We set ourselves a load of goals at the start of the year. We wanted to make T20 finals day, just missed out on that. We wanted to progress in the 50 over, which we did. We reached the quarter final. Obviously, we didn't perform as well as what we'd have liked to, but and the last one was to make sure we got in that top division for 2020 in the three-day cricket, and we did. So, you know, we had a fantastic year, really. Going unbeaten in three-day cricket is unheard of. And to finish third and not losing a game is quite gutting, really. You kind of go through a season like that and you think you should be pushing towards the top. But obviously Norfolk and staff had a fantastic year as well. So, yeah, the boys did fantastic. Well, they're a great bunch of lads to captain and play with, and, you know, I'll miss it definitely.
Yeah, well, you've certainly done your time, James, a magnificent career. Let's move on to the most important reason why we phoned you, though, tonight. Let's move on to the semi-final of the quiz. I'll explain the rules. Unlike the usual rounds where you have a one-minute round and then after a name of top 10, we've got a topic. So today's question is the test batsman to have scored 8,000 runs or more in their careers. So a batsman in test cricket to have scored 8,000 runs or more in their careers. There are 30 of them in the history of the game, and you two will take it in turns to name them. The minute one of you gets one wrong, though, that is when you will be out and the other person is victorious. Does that make sense?
I think so. We'll give it a go.
Cool. Well, Rippers, you were second in the leaderboard overall, finishing behind Dan, but in front of James, so you do get first pick. In the quiz, so that is a slight advantage over James. So we're looking for batsmen in Test cricket to have scored 8,000 or more runs of all time. So I'll accept your first answer, and then when you're ready, give me that. If it's wrong, you'll hear obviously that dreaded noise, and if it's right, we'll throw it to James and then back and forth.
Okay, we'll give it a go. First up for me, Sachin Tendulkar.
He is at the top of the list. Willow, over to you.
Steve Waugh.
He is also on the list too.
Rahul Dravid
is also on the list as well. Rippers, so far, Sam Rippington 2-1 up over his county teammate, James Williams. James, over to you.
Ricky Ponting
is second on the list, so a top answer there as well. 2-2.
Alistair Cook
is on there. He is fifth on the list. Congratulations with 12,472 runs. Willow?
We will go with...
Who is that, sorry?
Zach Callis.
He is third on the list, so you both get in the top five so far.
Hashim Amla
is 14th on the list as well, so another correct answer there. Racking through these.
We'll go with Mark Waugh.
Mark Waugh as well.
Oh, no.
He is 30th on the list. Just squeezed in there. So Mark Waugh is on the list. Rippers, over to you.
Kumar Sangakkara,
spot on, 6th on the list as well. Another correct answer there. Willow.
Let's go with Alex Stewart.
Alex Stewart is 25th on the list. He's on there.
Mahela Jayawardena
is also on there as well. 9th on the list. So another correct answer, Rippers.
Kumar Sangakkara.
I've said it.
Has already been said, Willow.
Oh, what? I didn't hear that.
Oh.
Come on.
Oh, no, I can't hear Rippers. Oh, no. How's he beat me?
Oh.
No, dear.
Willow, that is a A shame.
Oh, unbelievable.
So, unfortunately, it means that you will be exiting the competition at this stage, and it will be the final will be between two Berwyn and Exiting players.
Unbelievable.
Do you want me to read through the list quickly, just in case?
Go for it.
So, Tendulkar obviously first, Ponting second, Callis third, Dravid fourth, Alistair Cook fifth, Kumar Sangakkara sixth, Brian Lara in seventh. None of you mentioned him. Chanderpaul, also West Indian batsman, eighth. Jai Wardner mentioned there in ninth. Alan Border in tenth. Steve Waugh in 11th. Gavaskar 12th. Yunis Khan 13th. You mentioned Hashim Amla, he was 14th. Graham Smith of South Africa 15th. Gooch 16th. And then you've got others down the list as well. AB de Villiers in there. Michael Clarke as well. Viv Richards. Jeffrey Boycott as well down the list, and Kevin Peterson also down there in 27th. So Sam Riffington has come out victorious. So you happy,
brilliant.
Sam?
Absolutely ecstatic.
Good. Well, I welcome you back on the season review to go up against Jamie Seabrook in the final. Are you looking forward to that?
Yeah, it's going to be good. Good. We can't play cricket at Burwell, but we're Badgers, so...
Exactly. So Willow, obviously bitterly disappointed.
Gutted. Can't believe I've got the Rippers, but never mind. You know, he's got to win something at some point, hasn't he?
I'm going to say, he's not had the best year of Burwell, but we'll let him have the quiz.
Absolutely.
Anyway, I'll sure speak to you soon, Willow. And Sam, thank you very much both for coming on. And
cheers, guys.
We'll speak to you soon.
Thanks very
cheers,
much.
Bye. Bye. James Williams, Cambridgeshire County Cricket Club captain, and Burwell Exiting Sam Riffington going head-to-head in the quiz there. And Sam Riffington coming out on top. He'll take on Jamie Seabrook in the final of Who's the Biggest Badger? Yes, a round of applause for them both. You can hear that on the From the Pavilion season review, which we'll be recording in a couple of weeks' time.
Pavilion on Cambridge 105 Radio.
We're chatting England in the studio already, so it's about right that we do move on and talk England. Poor James, poor Willow, bless him, missing out on the Who's the Biggest Badger final, unfortunately, in his last year as captain of the county, but Sam Riffington coming out on top. He was buzzing after that. Unlucky, James, but congratulations to Rippers. Good final, that was. Good semi-final, that was. Really enjoyed that. Through to the final against Jamie Seabrook is Sam Riperton. You can hear it on the season review in a couple of weeks' time. Right, let's move on to England then and chat the Ashes and all things national cricket. Mike's up, so introducing Dougie and Ollie back into the conversation.
Just be back.
Yeah. Keenness, have you enjoyed the listen so far?
Yeah, good thumb. Yeah, good fun.
What do you think about the quiz? Harsh or...?
Yeah, the rules are rules.
Exactly, exactly that. Jason Roy has been dropped for the fifth Ashes test at the Oval. Sam Curran and Chris Wokes come in. Craig Overton also misses out. I guess there's no surprise in that. He was brought in for the Old Trafford test specifically. Did fairly well in the first innings. Didn't really have too much to contribute in the second innings, but Chris Wokes and Sam Curran come in. Jason Roy dropped. Harsh on Jason Roy or the right decision?
Oh, I mean, Jason Roy's had a tough season, a tough series, and he hasn't hit many runs, and he hasn't quite looked at home. So I think to drop him is probably the fair call. Whether it's the correct decision with one game to play in a tight Ashes series where it's a must win game for England is a tricky question. But look, he hasn't had his best series, and he's probably not done as well as he would have liked. And particularly going back to his home ground at the Oval, where he could have potentially done well and turned the series around for himself. And he's got a good track record at the Oval in the Red Bull format. So it's a shame for him, but it's a good opportunity for Sam Curran, who's at home as well, and hopefully Chris Wokes is well rested as we see Overton step aside.
Yeah, clearly Joe Root can't come to drop some of his bezzy mates. Johnny Bairstow and Joss Butler. But Ollie, if you were Jason Roy and you were struggling for runs, that's not really the case because you haven't been struggling for runs, but imagine for some horror moment that you were struggling for runs and you got four matches or five matches including the Ireland Test to prove your worth, and the likes of Keaton Jennings and Mark Sturman and other batsmen have had a lot longer, would you be a bit peeved?
I would be annoyed, seeing as well, Johnny Bairstow's had a clear problem with getting bowled through the gate for what, 2-3 years now, and Jason Roy's come in, all the pundits are slating him for having this problem, getting bowled through the gate, big expansive drives, which is true, but someone like Johnny Bairstow, who clearly has stiff competition with Ben Foulkes for the gloves, should be looked at to see if he can. See if Ben Foulkes can come in and do a good job, because he did well in Sri Lanka and didn't make a meal out of himself in West Indies. So I don't see why he got shoved over pretty quick.
Yeah, I think I wrote down my England side the other day, and I had Jason Roy in at four, I think, as well, and then I might have had Sam Curran, obviously Rory Burns, and that was it. It was Jason Roy, Rory Burns, Ollie Pope, and Ben Foulkes, but I couldn't bring myself to have four Surrey players. In the England side, in terms of how you think they'll fare in the fifth test at the Oval, do you think obviously Test Championship points up for grabs and all this, do you think it's right that they've picked the same side and gone out to win it, or do you think they could have perhaps looked slightly more long term and maybe chucked a few new lads in there, given them a test to, you know, just to play with freedom and see how they go?
Oh, I mean, look, there's a chance here to stop the Aussies winning the Ashes. So I know they've regained it, and that's tough for the England side. But there's so much left to play for, and I don't think now's the time to be playing around with new batting orders and to be experimenting. So there's a huge amount left to play for this England side, and I think that's kind of reflected in the squad they've picked. I think they've got to go out there and take 20 wickets. This isn't a game that they can coast along. They've got to go out and attack from ball one. So I mean, Sam Curran's probably a good guy to do that, and he'll add a new angle at Smith as well, so that could be quite interesting. But this is a game that England have to win, so we can't be experimenting now.
I asked you that question because I've seen on the BBC Sport website here that Gerard has said that England must build for the next Ashes. I remember that being talked about when we got a horrifically beaten down under last time, saying that we need to prepare for it, and it's been said the same this time. So I guess, when does that start? When do you start the preparations for the next Ashes? Ollie, in terms of how you think they'll go for the next test, do you think they'll manage to get a victory and draw the series, or do you just see Australia being too formidable?
I can't see. I think Pat Cummins and Steve Smith are just too good. Josh Hazlewood coming in. I just don't think we have as good a bowling or batting lineup as Australia do right now. Marnus Labuschagne coming in, just whacking it as well. He's a joke. Him and Smith are a joke. Cummins, Hazlewood, Patterson, Stark, Siddle all bowled well in the series. So I don't really see how we can get anywhere close to the next test. I think our best bet is probably Jofra and Stewie bowling really well. But I don't know. You just can't see it happening, unfortunately.
In terms of beyond this series, should Joe Root remain skipper?
I think there's a good case to be made for saying no. I think him as a batsman, as a standalone batsman, his average is better. The trouble is you can't keep chopping around with your captain over different seasons. So you do have to pick someone and stick with them. But that said, Joe Root's been chopping and changing as it is as a batsman. He's been coming at three and four, and it can't be helping his batting bit when this sort of his captaincy is under threat and the team aren't doing well. So and then you see people like Ben Stokes, you know, before the final innings at Old Trafford, leading the team talk, and he's clearly a guy that's got the respect of the changing room and of the fans. So he's not necessarily a bad option. Whether he's the right option now, I don't know. We'll have to see. And if we can win the game at the Oval this week and draw the series, then that may close that door on Root's the question mark on Root's captaincy.
Whether Joe Root
does, well, for me, I think look at him in the white ball format. Owen Morgan, captains aside, clearly the leader. Joe Root's a much better player without that responsibility. I think he needs to go out, let the captaincy go to somewhere else, get that responsibility off his shoulders and just score runs, because he's so good at scoring runs when he doesn't have that responsibility.
Yeah, watching him being interviewed after, I think it was the World Cup semi-final against Australia at Edgbaston, and it was the Joe that you wanted, the side of man who had a lot more weight off his shoulders. He seemed happy, obviously, because they won, but a lot more free in the way he was talking to the media, more upbeat. You see him when he's wearing whites and captain for England, he looks tired and he looks completely jaded by the whole experience as well. One man who will also be, I'll say also, who will be leaving, whether Gerrit will, is another question. But Trevor Bayliss won't be England coach after this series, of course, announced a while back that it will be his last. How will you remember him mostly, Dougie?
Well, it's quite hard to form an opinion of the guy. He's very much a standoff kind of character. He's very happy, like, allowing the players to, you know, to lead proceedings, and he's very happy letting the players have the limelight. So he's not a guy that we see a huge amount of. But clearly his record as coach, particularly in the white ball format, is something that you've got to applaud. To be the coach of a World Cup winning side is very impressive, and it's not something that a lot of cricket coaches out there can claim they've done. So you've got to say well done to Trevor, and congratulations on what's been a really good tenure as England coach. But you know, it's not an ideal note to end on if we do lose a series now.
Well, thank you very much, Dougie. Thank you very much, Ollie, as well, for your contributions today. I hope you enjoyed your time on the last show of the season. It is the last From the Pavilion of the season. We're back in a few weeks' time for the season review, but thanks for all your contributions and tuning in throughout the campaign. The summer is fading away. Despite that, it's still sunny outside. It sort of makes you wonder why we play games at the start of May. But anyway, that's a debate for another time. Thanks very much for listening. Up next is Tim Willett with the new music generator, and I'll hear you on the weekend on Saturday for the Cambridgeshire Football Show, looking ahead to all the biggest games this weekend. See you then.
Cambridge 105 Radio.